Blind Cool Tech 36, July 7, 2005. We've got Rob Meredith back in the APH studios in my office here again to talk about a little bit more about Studio Recorder. We had some tremendous response from our last session with it, and what we'd like to do is tell you about the release and maybe talk about a little bit of future plans and answer some questions that have been going on about Studio Recorder, and even probably provide you a background of what Studio Recorder is for those of you who don't know. And also to tell you that if you're interested, either before or after you listen to this, we encourage you to subscribe to the Studio Recorder list, which you can do by sending an email to studiorecorder-request@freelists.org and putting the word subscribe in the subject line. Okay, take it away, Mr. Meredith.
Okay, we just released Studio Recorder version 2.4.2. And this version should get anybody who was a little nervous about being a beta tester off the sidelines and give them a chance to upgrade to the absolute latest version. As we mentioned in our last show, the new features in this version are primarily a quick way to add up the total times of all document windows that are open for multi-file based projects, as well as a couple of enhancements to the WaveView code that makes it run a little faster. We plan on devoting a little more time to our next version, and there's several approaches we can take and goals we'd like to accomplish. Right now, Studio Recorder, for those who don't know, was originally developed to meet needs inside of APH. And as a result, some of the features are geared to have been kept in-house potentially, you know, for the whole life cycle of the product. In other words, when we sat down to develop the product, we didn't at the time plan to release it as a commercial product. So there are some limitations that we may not have had, such as right now you can only work with 16-bit PCM wave data. So if you open up an 8-bit file, you can't change the volume, and the same would go for like a 24-bit file. So one of the things we'd like to do down the road is improve Studio Recorder to work with 8, 16, and 24 and 32-bit WAV files. We're also looking at the possibility of adding support for what people generally call DirectX plugins, which would allow our product to use filters from other companies, which would be pretty much anything from equalizers to reverb units to dynamic compressors, you know, a whole variety of
noise
plugins.
Filters,
right,
and that kind of thing.
A whole variety of plugins that are available on the market. And you can even find some free plugins that aren't too bad. So those are sort of the main things that we have on the back burner as ideas for future versions.
Well, one thing, too, let's back up here just a second and mention to those of you who are Studio Recorder users to upgrade to version 2.4.2, just go to your help menu and select the check for updates option. This is a free upgrade, and Studio Recorder will alert you to the fact that there is an update available, let you read the details, or go ahead and download and install it. Also, we've got another beta version coming out, I'd say, within weeks. We've been hard at work on providing support for some external controllers. I think we mentioned in the last show dealing with Studio Recorder that while we had supported the Plextor RE11, that product has been discontinued, and we're planning on taking a somewhat different approach. And well, let me just explain too what an external controller is. This is a device that makes it possible for a person to control the recording, playback, and somewhat editing process without having to use a computer keyboard. It actually connects to your computer, but it's just a little box that has some lights in some cases, some display options in other cases, and buttons and sliders to let you control the process. So I'll let you go ahead and explain the ones we're doing and our approach to how we're going to handle this situation in the future so we don't get caught without any controller support again like we did this time.
Well, we made some very major progress in the area of controllers in the last 2 weeks. Basically, there are, let's just say, two fundamental differences in controllers. There's controllers that are based on MIDI, which is Musical Instrument Digital Interface, and there's controllers that are based on anything else, which could be a serial port type device with custom messages. It could be a USB device with a driver that acts like a serial device with custom messages. So essentially, those are the two main classes. And what we've done is we've tried to make our product more flexible, especially in the area of MIDI controllers. And we've done that by opening up the way the user specifies what key codes are sent by the controller and how Studio Recorder reacts to those key codes. So in theory, if a new controller comes onto the market that is a MIDI-based controller, a consumer would have essentially two choices. They could either contact APH and see if we're interested in supporting that controller and possibly, you know, give us either ways of how to buy that controller or maybe let us borrow the controller. Or they could sit down and modify a special file that contains information about controllers in general and try to add support for their controller by hand. For custom controllers such as serial controllers similar to the RE11, we don't currently have an open way to let users add support for those. That may or may not be coming in the future as we evaluate more controllers. We'd also like to hear from people via email if they either own a different controller that besides the RE11, which they have gotten to work with Studio Recorder, or they own one and they haven't gotten it to work. Just kind of get an idea what controllers people are interested in, if any, to give us more controllers to look at.
And the best email to use would be the Studio Recorder list.
Right. So once you subscribe to the list, then you can post messages to it.
Just by posting a message to Studio Recorder at freelist.org.
Right. Yeah, and like we said, once we get a few more controllers in here and add support, we will have a new beta. And for those of you who don't have a whole lot of interest in controllers, there's a couple new features. One of them is the ability to find the largest peak in a file and move to that location, and so that you can edit if necessary or do whatever you feel you need to do, or just find where the peak is, you know, for your own information. One more note about controllers. The thing that's kind of interesting about them is Studio Recorder doesn't have to have focus for your controller to be operational. So you can switch to another application, and you know, you can read your email and essentially reach over and still, you know, play, stop, record, or do whatever you need to do in Studio Recorder.
Yeah, good point. That's a major feature.
And we've tried to set it up so that you can have at least 8 function keys, and you can just assign those, you know, buttons to, you know, whichever buttons you feel are appropriate on your particular controller. and do basic studio recorder features like set a selection, delete a selection, undo, things like that.
So, you know, one thing we probably should mention, too, just in case people don't realize this, is you can also use a joystick as an external controller. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you can use a joystick as a controller. The reason that exists is primarily because that's how we do it here in the studio. We have a custom controller that's of neither of the types mentioned above. It's a joystick-based controller. I don't remember exactly how the joystick controller works, except that it uses buttons 1 through 4, and one of those is play, one is stop, one is record, and one is rewind. You don't get nearly the control with a joystick-type controller as you would get with one of these custom, you know, one of these MIDI or serial or USB type controllers. But it turns out that the controller support on the joystick port is sort of historical, where we were able to use the same controller that we used with our old analog tape machines. And since the studio personnel were already familiar with this type of controller and preferred to use it, we took that approach. So it is a limited but functional approach that one can take.
And it's really, in our case, in the studios, that's all the narrator really needs is the ability to rewind and punch in. So it was quite adequate for them. What are the can you give us the names of the controllers that we'll be supporting in this next beta?
Well, we're looking at supporting the Frontier Design Transport. And we're also looking at support for one of the J.L. Cooper controllers, probably one of the flavors of the MCS3. I don't actually have either of those controllers in front of me, so we may, you know, there may be some issues that come up, but it should be relatively easy to support those two controllers. And we have also experimented with a Tascam US224, which is more than a controller. It's actually a sound card and MIDI port device, so it offers audio ins, outs, MIDI ins, outs, and MIDI controller support, among other things. It was really designed to go along with a sequencer that ships with the product, so it looks very similar to the way the sequencer does on screen, but we've managed to adapt at least the controller part.
Alarms for beaming. Bill semicolon. Larry Stutchen semicolon. Man twofold. David semicolon. Steve at quickcopier.com. Dialogue. Larry Stutchen meet with Steve Gomez of Springer Design. 10 a.m. Bill's office.
One of the things too that we've had on the studio recorder list requests for is this whole idea of resampling to make things
studio recorder
dash
document two. Document two star.
What's the word I'm looking for? Happen automatically or in the background? Convenient. That's it. And so that's another thing we're looking at for the next version. That's not in 2.4.2, but that'll be some things that we're looking at in this version. And we really thought about delaying the release for this one a little while and getting some of this other stuff into it, but there's technical issues about COM interfaces, if any of you are boring enough to be interested in that kind of stuff.
Right. So we were pressured to release the most stable product essentially before we moved on to the next major feature set. And once we close out a feature set, it can't be reopened. So that's why we kind of work in blocks, and that's why you'll see bursts of activity on Studio Recorder and then what would appear to some maybe to be a dry spell as we go off and work on other projects. But it's all done for a reason. So that's why we couldn't add certain features to the last version, essentially. We had to get it out as it was in a stable form and then continue on.
And one of the things, too, Rob touched on this a little bit, the philosophy behind Studio Recorder and the philosophy behind APH software in general. I think for any of you who are familiar with the kind of software we put out, it's fairly apparent that we're committed to doing some innovative, fun, interesting, and stable products. And we intend to continue along that line, but like Rob mentioned, with Studio Recorder, our focus in the beginning was getting our studios up and running in the most efficient way possible with digital recording. And I'm not saying, or we're not going to commit, that Studio Recorder is going to do everything that any sound editor could possibly want, but we'd really like to focus on features that are possibly inaccessible with other sound editing applications. And you want to talk, and before we elaborate on that, I do want to say that none of this represents any commitments. We may find that we run into brick walls or whatever. We're just kind of giving you an overview of the map we're using to move forward with this product. So you want to say anything about that, Rob?
What we've noticed in other wave editors, SoundForge being an example, is they're really good products, but a lot of the features are inaccessible. And an example might be the graphic fade in SoundForge, which is a very interesting feature if you can use it, where you are able to put points essentially along a timeline and specify a particular volume level or amplitude at each particular point. So, for example, you could draw a fade curve that maybe started at full scale and dropped down to negative 6 dB toward the middle and then ramped back up. Or you could draw a fade curve that dropped to complete silence at one point and then bounced back up or leveled off. And for people who are doing detailed editing work and sometimes a voiceover situation or sometimes mixing in a live audience with a pre-recorded session, these kind of features are very helpful. And we've considered ways to make a graphic fade-like feature available without the idea of having to click and drag. So that those are some things we're thinking about as well.
Okay. I guess in short, we're very, very excited and committed to continuing the innovative work with this sound recording and editing program, and look forward to branching out in a few more directions, adding a little more flexibility and functionality for other purposes. And we would love to hear from you on the Studio Recorder list. Again, that's Studio Recorder subscribe at freelists.org. Anything else you would like to?
Requests.
Studio Recorder. Yes, it is. Thank you. Studio Recorder request at freelists.org and put subscribe in the subject line. Thanks for catching that.
I actually told a customer that last week and they couldn't sign up, so I know what that's like.
Okay, anything else you'd like to conclude with?
Well, I think that'll just about wrap it up for this version.
Okay, and we'll be posting more information when this beta 2.4.2.x gets released, or it put into beta, which probably within the next couple of weeks. Rob's got a lot more coding he wants to take care of, and we've got some documentation issues. Again, thank you for listening. This has been Blind Cool Tech, issue 36. You can leave a comment on our comment line at 206-984-9203 or email us at blindcooltech@gmail.com. Or you can check out our website at aph.org/tech/bct.htm. This has been Rob Meredith and Larry Skukon. Thank you. All right, man. That's a wrap.
Is it Gmail or G-email or what is it, Gmail?
Oh, just G-M-A-I-L.
Okay. Wasn't familiar with that one.
That's Google Mail.